Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the jazz call on the 28th of, no, sorry, the 26th of October. And on the call, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Carlos Oguira, Rafek Damak, Tijani Benjima, Elaine Pruis, Alan Greenberg, Evan Lebevovich, and Dave Kisson-Doyal. And for staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Glenda Saint-Jury. We have apologies from Sebastian Bachelet, Alex Kukura, Avery Doria, and I think that was all, wasn't it, Evan?
So far as I remember, that's correct.
Yes. And may I just ask you please to say your name before you speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Evan.
Okay. All right. By the way, according to, I can't get into Adobe, not for technical reasons apparently, but I'm told that I haven't been given permission yet to get into
the Carla, I'll let you in a minute. It's a private meeting. We all get that.
Private, if it's a private meeting, I don't get let in.
There you go,
that's
Evan.
Quite good for me.
Evan, you're in, mate. Sorry. She's
darn.
Let you in. Darling. No escape. No escape.
Oh, I tried. Okay. And if you could give me meeting presenter status. Okay. So the document that is on the screen right now is the last one. And so... as far as I understand, recently there have been edits that have been submitted by Tijani, by Sebastian, and by Eric, and I hope they have all been incorporated. It's my understanding, based on conversations I've had with Avery, that there is not a lot left in this document that we need to nail down. And hopefully, if we can reconcile the new additions and come to either a consensus on the points or an understanding of if there is divergence or something less than consensus, then we can basically put this to rest. It's my understanding that staff is working on coming up with a new applicant guidebook in advance of the Cartagena meeting, so the faster we can put something down, the faster we can put this in the staff's hands, and possibly see at least bits and pieces of this go in. Carla, could you kindly give me host status? Because I can't even scroll the PDF where I am right now.
Yeah, Evan, she's trying to get scroll control out. It's come in and out once, but the AC room in the meetings I've already had today has been very flaky. So it could be that there's a lag time between commands she's giving and us seeing it for some reason.
Okay. Well, I mean, remember, Cheryl, from my point of view, Adobe Connect has always been flaky.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've not had those historical problems, and it's really flaky for me. Like, I couldn't even stay in rooms today. It kept dropping out every few minutes, so...
Okay. Okay, so Avery now has host status. I know she's online, but not on the call. So if we can, I guess, scroll to the parts in color that are changes proposed to the document. I guess those are incorporated the changes from Tijani, Sebastian, and Eric. Maybe we can scroll. Oh, hold on. Do I have a scroll bar here?
We can now. We can now.
Yeah, we should be able to now.
I see it.
Thanks, Avery.
Okay, so what I'd like to do now is...
It was around line 200-something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 0.2.2.1 or something like that, where we had some of our...
2.26, the first paragraph that...
line 209.
Yeah, line 209 is the first...
Yes, that's it. So, may I have an event?
Please go ahead, Johnny. I'm still working on
it. Only to say that since this is my proposal, what I put in red is to be removed from my point of view, and what I put in blue is what we have to add, as I understand it.
Okay. So, hold on. What's in red we're taking? Okay. So... if everybody could just take a moment, and I mean, so, all right, I'm going to read out in blue the new text that Tijani is proposing.
Yes.
There is a consensus view that the fixed variable cost of $100,000 based on total cost of previous rounds of applications might not be relevant to the new GTLD applicants and should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group. On the other hand, in light of complexity of the calculation that established the basis for the $100,000 cost, it might be too difficult to determine what, if any, the fee should be eliminated. Therefore, further investigation should be made. I guess I'm a little bit of a loss seeing how different the paragraphs are in substance. They're both essentially saying there might be some room to move down from the $100,000. It's just we don't know what they are, so we're asking for extra investigation. I'm not sure what subtlety you're trying to get across here.
I don't understand your remark, Evan.
My remark is saying I don't see the two paragraphs sufficiently different.
They are too much different, the red and the blue.
Yes.
There is a big difference. Because in the red, we say that there was a consensus that we don't have any recommendation to do. In the blue, there was consensus that we have to recommend to reduce the $100,000, but since it is too complicated to know how it was calculated, perhaps further investigation is needed. That's the difference, and it's a very big difference.
But at least to me, Tijani, number six is too confusing because it's saying, well, we think that it should be reduced, we just don't have any idea how much.
That's it. Exactly.
So if we don't know how much, then how can we even say it can be reduced?
We said we need further investigation.
Right, but the investigation may determine that it can't be reduced. Like this is the whole gist of it, is there's a consensus that, you know, the $100,000 may be too much. On the other hand, we don't know. Right? Both of these things are saying we don't know and more investigation is needed before we can even come up with a recommendation of how much to drop it.
Yeah.
I don't see them as being that different.
Evan, if I may? Tijani, Evan is saying that reading what is the red writing in point 6, lines 209 to 214, is more concise, has clarity, and still says the particular essential points of what is said in the lines 215 to 222. In other words, that it is complex. We do not have a clear understanding of the complexity of the component parts of the calculation for the fixed and variable costs, but that investigation is recommended so that if it is possible, a reduction could then be calculated and recommendation made after that investigation. Have I captured that vaguely?
You've done extremely well, Cheryl, and thank you. I mean, basically, Tijani, it's, as Cheryl says, fewer words being clear said. The heart of the matter is we'd like to be able to recommend dropping the cost, but we really have no idea how much. And in that sense, the first paragraph still conveys that idea. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I in fact think the first one does it somewhat better because the phrase "if any fee should be eliminated for applicants meeting the requirements for support" is near the beginning, and it prefixes, it's clearly saying we're not sure if there is. The second paragraph says the same thing, but it's buried after the statement saying we have to determine how much. And I think for that reason, the flow is not quite as clear.
I mean, Tijani, is there another smaller, more subtle change we can make to the first paragraph that will convey the difference you want? Because I'm still not understanding how what you want is different from the first version. I mean, if you're trying to get across that we had a consensus that we got to do something, but we don't know what, that's still kind of confusing. Because that doesn't bring forward anything useful by whoever's reading this. If we're going to recommend something, let's recommend something. If we're recommending that we need to do further investigation, and upon further investigation we may discover cost savings, then let's say that.
I have two proposals. The first one, if we keep the original version of this paragraph, I think we had better to remove it at all, because we are not recommending anything, and we say we can't recommend. There is consensus not to recommend. So there is no reason to put something to say we don't recommend. The second possible solution for that is that we say that this cost there was consensus in the group that this cost should be reduced, full stop.
Okay, let me suggest a third option. Is it possible to reword this in an even simpler way that says, we recommend more study with the aim of discovering areas where costs can be reduced? Does that not get across really the heart of this? Because there is a recommendation, well, it's saying suggestion, but number six definitely does put forward something saying that we need there to be more study. So can we possibly rework six to say we're recommending investigation of the nature of the $100,000 to discover areas where costs could be reduced for deserving applicants?
The second way you said it works, the first didn't work. But Elaine has her hand up, sorry.
Go ahead, Elaine. Sorry, I don't see the hand up.
I was just going to say exactly, I think that was Cheryl that said the same thing. The second way works. The first way doesn't. We need to honor the fact that somebody suggested that we review the $100,000, and by including that idea in number six, then we're saying, yes, we thought about it, and this is what we decided to do with it. I don't think we should just say, look, we should review reducing costs some more.
Okay, so now I just need to remember what I said the second time. There's a consensus view that the $100,000 base cost be reduced to identify areas that could be reduced or eliminated.
Be reviewed.
Sorry?
You said there's consensus that it be reduced. You mean reviewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're asking that the $100,000 base cost be reviewed to examine areas where cost could be reduced for qualifying applicants in need, or something like that.
That's better than what is in red now.
So to Jenny, you're okay with that, and that's even shorter and more concise than either of the current proposals.
It misses the if. It presumes there is a cost reduction. We just have to find out the details.
Well, it's saying that let's examine it and see what's available. The possible result of the examination may be it's not available. But we're basically saying look at the 100,000 and see if there's any room to move.
Alan, could you type your text in the notes section so we can read what you're proposing?
Okay. So, hold on. Sorry, I put my phone onto speaker so I can actually type and talk at the same time. Forgive me, it's early morning. And okay, there is consensus that there's consensus that the $100,000 base cost be viewed
to ascertain if any cost reductions can be passed on to suitable applicants or something like that. Because as Bardwin's pointing out, it's investigate first, discovery, and then pass on the results.
How's about that? There's consensus that the $100,000 base cost be reviewed in order to determine if any cost reductions could be made available to suitable applicants in need, assuming that spelling is fixed.
Wait.
That works for me. I think losing the language that talks about the complexity, blah, 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 is a good thing.
Well, it's almost assumed that it's too complex, which is why we need to research it.
Yeah.
Jenny, are you okay with this simplified wording?
Yes, I put a check mark.
Okay, is there anybody on this call who is opposed to this wording? Elaine, does that meet what you were thinking of?
I'm sorry, I still can't. Did you type it somewhere?
It's in the chat area.
Adobe Connect.
Ah, there we go.
The IC room's being flaky for a lot of people, I'm afraid.
Okay, I'll read it back once more. There is consensus that the $100,000 base cost... Oh, now it's scrolled off. There is consensus that the $100,000 base cost be reviewed in order to determine if any cost reductions could be made available to suitable applicants in need.
Can I ask for the second cost to go to say if any reductions could be made available?
That's fine. That's even more concise.
Okay.
So, Elaine, are you okay with that wording?
Yeah,
go check markup. Okay. So I'm not seeing anybody opposed. So having said that, then we have a more concise number six that clearly reflects this group. And okay, that's good. We will move on. Put that up on the. We'll put that out as soon as the call is over. I'm hoping for anybody who is not on the call to get comments. Without further ado, I am scrolling.
There was a change, something by Sebastian on line 170, by the way. I don't know if that was a change or something else. 175.
Yes, I'm there right now, and I'm trying to see what's there. Okay, maybe because I'm not seeing it redlined.
It's not redlined, it's just commented. I'm not sure.
Maybe I can do it.
Oh,
are you with us, Sebastian? We had your apologies, so we didn't realize you were with us.
No, I was late, and
by the way,
apologies.
Before we continue, who is C? There's someone on Adobe chat with the name C.
Carlos.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Okay, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, it was more a comment to say that we start the cost reduction with a very tiny, small amount of money, and I know that every dime it's a dime, but when you compare the $26,000 with $10 million, it's I have the impression that here we start with the small side of the lunette, and we don't want to show the realities. And I have when I read it again totally, I thought that, hey, they are doing something interesting here, and then I see that it's nothing compared with the $10 million. That was my remarks. Maybe it could be better to say something that later, because it's not just after, we come with more important figure that this small piece of money. But it was that was it.
Okay, Sebastian, I'll just make a couple of quick comments, at least in explaining what I understand to be the intent and the difference. The $26,000 is waived for every single application. The $10 million is a pool to be shared by everyone. So it's not quite the same thing. They both have a place in this recommendation, but they both cover very different things. The $26,000.
You're right, except if I read well, that there is a total amount of $184,600 split by 26. That means that it's it will be for five project, no more, and the 10 million is to for everybody. It's just a matter of discrepancy between the type of figures we are talking about. But that's
I don't think actually that's even the intent, Sebastian. I don't think the intent of the 10 million was to do this 26,000 subsidy. I thought it's my understanding that the intent is that ICANN would literally reduce the price of the entry cost for the GTLD application. The $10 million would be used by different applicants to those that even needed some help to fund that reduced price. So the two are actually complementary. It's not one instead of the other.
The bet has dropped off.
The cost reduction does not go against the $10 million.
Sebastian has dropped off.
He's called back. Let's just note his comment. Thank you very much, and move on.
Okay,
but do you generally agree with the assessment here? It's apples and oranges here?
Alan wants to speak.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I missed the inclusion of the $184,000 profit there. I think that's... I think that's a red herring completely. If you remember, the $26,000 was not part of the formal budget for new implementation of the new GTLDs. It's a repayment to reserve of money paid out ahead of time. And the point of this one was not, it's only a small amount, therefore you can waive it, because that violates the intent of the board decision to say there shall not be any financial reduction as such. This says waive repayment to reserve, and I think the inclusion of the reference to the 184.6 is a complete red herring and should be removed from that.
So, Alan, you're proposing that the sentence between 76 and 78, I'm not scrolling right.
Yeah, 176 and 178.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that sentence, the program budget indicates an expected net profit of US$184.86 for the new GTLD program. If I read you right, Alan, you're saying that...
And the next sentence, which says this profit.
Okay. This fully or partially offset the loss of waiving the $26,000 program development costs for several applicants.
Yeah, I think those two need to be replaced or should have been replaced with the statement saying the $26,000 is not part of the formal budget, but a repayment to reserve.
A And that needs to be waived.
And we expect, and then go on, we expect relatively few applicants, so the financial burden of waiving these fees should be reasonable.
Okay, so hold on. I'm trying to get the gist of what you're saying. So if you slow down, I mean, let's come up with some replacement wording here. And
I thought I just did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to get it committed to writing here. So under the current...
Isn't Carla capturing these things?
Carla?
She said earlier in the chat she was.
Carla, I'm just confirming with you. Do you need us to wordsmith this, or do you have what Alan said? It's just I didn't really want to move on before confirming that either Carla had it or we had it. Okay, I'll tell you what, Alan, could you just sort of to yourself just craft that in a text editor and have it ready in case we need it?
Carla is here.
I am so speaking mute. You could repeat that would be great.
Okay, now I see why you were on mute. Okay, I just want to ask, did you have Alan's wording changes here?
I do not have Alan's wording changes.
Okay, we're going to change the lines between 176 and 179. So we're looking to change that, and if I recall from what Alan was saying, so instead of the phrase from beginning the current proposed program and ending costs for several applicants, that we replace this with text that reads, under the current proposed program, $26,000 is meant as retained.
And I'll put something in the chat.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Okay. Sebastian, you're back on the call with us. Are you okay with Alan's proposed replacement?
I don't know yet. I didn't. You were trying to give the sentence, and then Carla say, "I will write it," and I don't know.
Okay.
But
Alan,
I assume yes.
I'm typing it right now.
Okay.
And so the intention, Sebastian, also is to make it very clear that the $26,000 is a cost reduction that has nothing to do with the pool of $10 million to applicants who would be able to use it to, in fact, pay for the reduced cost application. So the two are not at all the same thing. Okay.
Where I can get the sentence written?
Sorry?
He's going to wait until he reads the sentence, Evan.
Yeah, okay.
You're not going to get any commitment until he sees what Alan's typing. So hold on to yours.
I've done it in the chat. It says the $26,000 is not a part of the implementation budget, but rather a repayment to reserve.
And that sentence replaces the two sentences beginning the current proposal for program and the profit could fully. The sentence we expect relatively few stays in.
Yeah.
Is that clear, Sebastian?
Yes, it is. I agree.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Carly, you may have to go back on mute, I think, because I think it's your line that's causing some weird feedback.
Okay.
I've added a couple of more words at the end of the sentence to make it clearer, also in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the rationale behind our desiring to have the 26th waived.
I was the one who originally proposed it and have championed it all along, and yes, that was the rationale.
Okay. Is there anybody on this? Put an X if you have any opposition to Alan's replacement of that text.
Evan, do you need to read the whole thing?
No, we don't.
I don't think it's necessary, Carla, especially considering the quality of the line you're on. So if you could just edit it within the document, and we're going to move on. Okay, so the next thing that has any red lines in it, I'm Okay, there's some green at line 270.
Green, yes. It's a comment.
Okay. Why do we program development function to avoid confusion with the new GTLD? Okay, Tijani, go ahead. You want to explain your comment here. Go ahead.
Yes, it's only because someone on the call next time said or wrote that the program development is confusing with the new GTLD program development. So that's why I propose to change the name to avoid any confusion.
I'm okay with that. A program development usually refers to the efforts within ICANN to develop the program. So if the intention is to have a, you know, if we change it, yeah, I can understand the possibility of confusion. And so if we, let's see, so program development, to change that to program support.
Call it support program development in line 266.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, so in 266 we add the word support. So it's, there is consensus that I can establish a support program development function.
Wordy, but it's not confusing.
Okay. All righty. Is there anybody who is opposed to that change?
Carlos agrees.
Sorry?
Yeah.
I'm looking for X's for anybody that doesn't agree with this. If not, we'll accept it and move on. Okay.
Can we make sure that the comments section 273 on is clearly removed because it's an inline comment instead of a sideline comment?
Well, yeah, I'm sort of assuming that in being in green, it's just sort of an aside that will be removed ultimately because it's not really part of it.
Never assume.
Okay, Carla, you've got that?
Yes.
Okay. So moving further down, I'm looking for red, green, or blue, or Christmas colors, or anything like that.
365.
There is a comment from Dave at line 365. Do we need to include this? Do we need to include first? Okay, sorry. I need to zoom on this. I've got a small screen. Dave is saying, do we need to include that through the applications to be made by the applicant's agents for the sake of support? The applicants themselves as legal entities should be considered. He says, even if they're agents, I think the applicant is still the entity we care about. I think that I would agree with Fabry's comment. Can we accept that and move on? Or, Dave, did you want to speak further to this? Okay, Dave says in the comment period, commentary is fine, so we are moving on. Okay, so continuing to scroll through this. All right, so the next thing we still have, we are now at line 391. Okay, and so there's a comment from Tijani in 395. We're listing here the categories eligible support. Tijani, do you want to speak to your comment?
Yes. Yes. Here, the would qualify for add is we have to remove it because we are A, B, C, E. All those points are categories eligible for support. So we don't put in this special case would qualify for ed. All are qualified for ed.
And we also said we were going to use bullet points, not alphabetical order.
Yes, but she put not in, in a specific order and not in priority orders, and she put A, B, C, D back.
Okay.
The rationale was so we could talk about them better.
Yes. Okay, well, the first thing, first things first. Tajani makes the point that putting would qualify for aid is redundant, given that we've enumerated a number of categories that we've said would qualify for aid. So those words in red are redundant. Does anybody have a disagreement with that? Okay. So without making comments about bullets or letters or whatever, can we so we can agree to take out the words that Tajani has put in red, and along with removing the comment in green next to it.
Yep.
Okay. Next is line 405. So we have in blue from 402 to 409. So we have...
Evan, are we coming back to making them bullet points instead of A to E? Because we spent ages making sure it was bullet points, not A to E.
I changed.
Thank you.
In that case, we... Never mind.
Yeah. It was done to identify them. So that we can speak about them.
I understand the rationale, Tajani.
Okay.
But having spoken about them and settled, let's revert.
All right. All right, we're at line 4. Cheryl, do you have some? Your hand is up.
I'm trying desperately to get it lowered.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, so next to move on, lines 402 to 409.
May I explain?
Go ahead.
It's only to be relevant with 28A. This is speaking about the Brent applicants, and we said that they are not allowed to apply, or they are not eligible for support, except some exceptions. Can be eligible for support for those who are coming from the markets that cannot permit normal profit.
Okay.
We said it in the categories that are eligible, and now for categories that are not eligible, we have to be relevant with the other point, if you want.
Okay. Personally, I don't see that they're the same thing, but we got people with their hands up. Eric, welcome to the call, and go ahead.
Thank you. This is Eric Werner-Williams. I wrote a response to this and sent it to the list. As brands don't exist as a type, language about whether supporting or not supporting exceptions for brands is non-operative language here. If there was a then it would be appropriate to discuss whether or not there should be any language concerning brands in this. So my first observation about this entire passage from
.391 on.
Thank you, Cheryl. Not 391 on, no, 399, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that reference to brands should go, so the first part under A should be removed. And then what's left is the discussion about exemption under market constraints or a conditional exception. And since it's present in 2.8 above, 28E, not to try to use letters for any purpose other than clear communication. Since that's present in 28E, it's duplicated here. So I recommend removing the entire passage because of the reference to brands, which don't exist, and the duplication of the previous text. Thank you for putting up with this long talk.
No problem, Eric. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to make reference to the dot brand not be a formal thing, but I would have changed it separately. We don't know at this point if there will be a dot brand or not. The VI group has not defined one well, but that doesn't mean, based on the amount of discussion that is raised, there won't be one. So I would put an if in that sentence, saying if there is a dot brand classification, then. However, I do not agree with the exemption. the exemption that we previously talked about said entrepreneurs. I think the concept of an entrepreneur trying to start up a new business and dot brand, where the whole concept is, this is a GTLD for something which is an accepted, widely used brand name, are pretty well mutually exclusive. So the exemption we talked about for entrepreneurs, I do not believe could apply to a dot brand, and I would not want to see the exemption applied to them.
Okay, so if I just before I go on to Andrew, so I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right, because I think I it makes sense to me. So just bear with me. So you're saying that number one, that we should leave in the brand thing because it is being contemplated, and essentially saying if there is such a thing as a brand TLD, it should be excluded. At the same time, you're making the case that it is not redundant with 28E, in that local entrepreneurs is quite a difference from established brands.
That's correct. I'm saying that the concept of someone running a dot brand is mutually exclusive with the entrepreneur, so we don't have to factor in the entrepreneur clause here.
Okay. So basically what you're saying, Alan, is that we also keep in the red text that's suggested for removal, been basically saying we have consensus that should there be a brand TLD, that it not be qualified for A, but there was a minority view that exceptions could be made.
Yep.
Okay. So
an if be added somewhere appropriately in A.
Okay.
Consensus in the group that if brand GTLDs are deemed to exist in the new program, then.
Okay. So, all right. So, Andrew and Eric, go ahead, and then I'm going to ask that we may suggest some wording. So, Andrew, go ahead, and then Eric.
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm lining up more along the lines of what Tijani is suggesting, and I'll explain why. I agree with Eric that we're not in the dot brand world, but we may be at some point in time, and so our recommendation strikes me. There's no harm in including them. I understand, I think, where Tijani is coming from, and based on the experience that I've had working in some of these markets, what you find is brands that do exist but don't exist in a strong way on the web, because a lot of these people have built brands without using a lot of the same tools that we might. Strong local or regional brands may actually be pretty big without having an equivalent-sized web presence. On that basis, they can still be very much entrepreneurial enterprises in the web space and in the GTLD space, and therefore I think that they would fit very nicely with the other, you know, with the same things that we're talking about, the two type markets. So that's based on some personal experience. I think what Tijani's saying makes sense.
Tijani ended up putting a check mark on my suggestion also.
Yes.
Okay.
Just to confuse issues.
Then I am really confused. My recommendation would be to include in the if that Alan suggests, if dot brand does get developed, then I think that it would be appropriate for these entrepreneurial companies in the two-type markets to have access to this to this kind of support.
That they should receive, or they should be exempt, that should not be entitled.
That they should
be denied.
That an exception should be made. That they should have access, in part based on the fact that many of them don't have the kind of web presence that they would have in a different market, in a less underserved market.
Okay, you're saying something very different than what we have now.
No,
well,
actually, what I'm saying.
Minority view.
Okay, hold on. Just a sec. Okay. I mean, what I'm hearing you're saying is that should there be a brand TLD, that we should that it should be enabled to get resources. We have it here explicitly denied.
Okay, but the minority view says that an exception should be made, right?
Yes. Okay.
Correct.
We're saying consistent with the minority, that there's a minority view that
and the minority view was the one put forward by Tijani, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so I am suggesting that though I understand Alan's point of view about the difference between an entrepreneur as we understand it in the North and a dot brand, in fact, based on my personal experience, there can be such an instance where you can be an entrepreneur on the web even though you have a very well-established company off the web in some of these markets. That's all.
Okay.
I must admit I disagree. We're thinking in Technicolor. If someone doesn't have a web presence at all and they're going to jump in and get a .brand TLD to fix that problem, I don't think those are the people that we're trying to help, to be honest. I'm not disagreeing with the concept that a well-known brand can be entrepreneurial in certain regions. I agree with that completely. I just think that setting up a .brand TLD for someone who doesn't have a web presence, who is still deemed to be an entrepreneur in the web sense, I think is an edge case that we're trying to gild the lily to put in.
Okay, and all I'm suggesting is that while people may have, while people may have some web presence, they wouldn't qualify. You know, they're not a Coca-Cola. That's all. And there's a substantial difference, and they may fall in that space between somebody who has the resources to do big, to go international in a big way, and the very very small startup entrepreneur that we want to support in 2.E or whatever it was that Eric referenced earlier.
Okay, we're starting to re-debate the core issue, which I really would prefer not to at this late date. We seem to have a group position, and we've got a minority view. I'm trying to refine this in such a way that is consistent with what Eric was saying. So I've typed into the bottom of the Adobe chat, should a brand TLD category be defined by a future applicant process, such brand TLD should be excluded from support. Alan, does that what you were trying to say here?
That does say what I was trying to say.
Okay. So notwithstanding the fact that we have a divergence of views, okay, we clearly had it that there was a consensus to exclude brand TLDs, but a minority viewpoint to allow, okay?
And then you have two persons on the queue.
Sorry?
You have two persons on the queue.
Sorry, my queue doesn't scroll very well. Eric, I was going to ask you for your comment on this anyway, but go ahead.
Thank you, Evan. First, I'd prefer not to mention things that don't exist because the hypothetical about brands could be extended to other hypotheticals that may or may not exist at some future point in time. So from my point of view, the cleaner solution is to not mention brands. If brands must be mentioned, then the statement that you've just put into the Skype, the session window, is entirely adequate. I would like to discuss just for a moment the issues that Andrew brought up. So I've already covered the hypothetical nature of that brand and the existence of other possible hypotheticals. My next point is that this applicant, this hypothetical applicant, does not meet the needs qualification. The presumption that they are present in the bricks and mortar space in some locality, in some region, have some regional presence, implies that they are not going to meet the needs qualification. As a successful bricks and mortar business, they are not meeting the needs qualification to become a registry operator. And I think that's all I have to say on the issue. Thank you very much.
Okay. I would simply make the note that I just went on to Google and did a search for ICANN brand TLD and got almost 2,000 hits. So although whether or not it actually exists, in fact, there's certainly a lot of chatter about it, Eric, and I wouldn't say there's that amount of chatter about other things. So if you're okay with this wording that, you know, on one hand talks about something that doesn't exist, but talks about something about which there has been a significant amount of conversation and may yet show up in a future process. I hope you're okay with this wording, at least, that addresses, well, we know it's not there, but in case it does, because we know people are talking about it, we've explicitly allowed for it here.
Evan,
Eric, are you okay with that?
Evan, if you had done the same search for a city TLD or for a linguistic and cultural TLD or for even a sponsored TLD, I suspect you'd also come up with large numbers. Yes, there is talk of this. That doesn't make it real. Thank you.
Okay. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Evan. I really beg your pardon. Please, please forgive my very poor English. That's why I put this comment, because I confused Brent with for-profit business applicants. So I did the similarity with the entrepreneur. That's why I ask you to withdraw this comment. I don't want to put it.
Okay. So are you okay then, Tijani, with maintaining the existing wording with along with the suggestion that Alan has made and the wording that I have put in below?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So, all right, then, as far as I'm concerned, we have addressed 2.9. And Eric, your comments are taken into consideration, but it did appear that this group did want to make a statement on that, so I'm going to allow it, even though it is hypothetical. This group did want to expressly address that. Carla, go ahead. We're at the top of the hour and really are going to need to move off because a number of people on this call have to move to the ALAC call that starts.
Just sorry, I am back and not on Adobe, and it's Sebastian. Sorry for that. It was very difficult to come back. But what I heard here, I can't read nothing, and I didn't know the sentence. But if you keep the brand TLD, I will say that I disagree with skipping this word in that document. But I will read carefully what you suggest, because I don't.
Okay, Sebastian, we are not skipping it. We are simply saying that since it is not defined, if it is defined, we're against it. And I know that you and a couple of other people have to go to the ALAC call at the top of the hour, so we're going to try and wrap this up shortly. Carla, go ahead.
So we including the sentence that you had in the chat room, should a brand TOD category be defined by a future applicant process, such brand TODs should be excluded from support. My question is, what additional changes do you want to this?
Okay, so going back to 2.9, so here's where we are. Looking at the text that is on there right now. So we're changing line 399 to reflect the change that I put in there. Okay, so should a brand TLD be defined by a future applicant process, such brand TLDs should be excluded from support, as they should be self-supporting companies and thus not eligible for need-based support. So, Carla, do you understand that change?
Yes.
Okay. The lines from 402 to 404 in blue are not being added, and the change and the section in red is not being deleted.
So I delete the blue, and I keep the red, and I delete the green.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we are at the top of the hour. People who are on ALAC are going off to the ALAC call. So it really Tijani, are you still with us?
I will go.
Okay.
I have the ALAC meeting. You too.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so we can deal with some of the other comments you have in green, but I think we've gone through a lot of the substance of the changes that have been proposed.
I think it's okay. There is a significant other. Okay.
All right. So basically, my reading of things is that things are generally complete. We need to go through the FAQ part of this. But we have addressed the comments and the changes. So we are at the top of the hour, and I guess we will see you back here on Friday, hopefully to wrap this up. And Thank you all for participating, and we will see you then.
Please continue on the list. If there is other comments, please, everyone, continue on the list. That helps very much. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.